are two parts to this passage from Hebrews. And it's maybe one of those good news, bad news kind of things. The second part is a passage that I've referred to here and there in preaching. And it is maybe one of my more favorite passages in Scripture. But as is the case, to get to the second part, you have to go through the first part. And the first part is a little bit scary, because it is it's just frightening to us. The other day, Jude and I were going for a walk. I think we were getting the mail or something like that. And on a window of one of the neighbor's houses was a giant fly. And it was the size of a palm. It was gigantic. And Jude asked me, "Is that fly for real?" And I told him, "No. It's just a plastic fake Halloween decoration. It's made to look real, but it's not real." And I thought, thank goodness, because that would be absolutely terrifying if it was real. Could you imagine the fly, a fly the size of your hand, buzzing around your house like a sparrow or a bat? It'd be terrifying. It's fake. It's plastic. It's not real. It's dead. It's passive. Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is living and active. It isn't fake. It isn't harmless, like a plastic fly on the wall. It is not dead or passive. Instead, it is living and active. And as such, it can do things. It can and will affect you should you dare to read it. Should you dare to enter a church and hear it preached to you, as the guy that was rolling up marijuana joints discovered, it will do something to you. It can be dangerous. It can affect you. Because anything that can affect you really can have the potential to be dangerous. And I don't mean necessarily dangerous in a bad way. Dangerous things can be good for us as well. And the Word is dangerous, because the Lord and His Word wants to affect sinners. It is dangerous to those of us who are sinners, which is all of us, because the Lord wants to kill sinners. In fact, Lutherans, we would say He wants to drown them, take the life away from sinners. Because only when sinners are destroyed, killed, drowned, can they be given life. And this Word of God that is living and active is dangerous in that sense. We should be frightened of it. But the writers of Hebrews, and if you don't understand quite what living and active means, he goes on further and he describes what this word is. He says it's sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. A normal sword you could stick somebody with and it could separate you a little bit, but this word does more. It does more than separate joint from marrow. It separates and divides soul from spirit. It pierces us. We're talking about more than just paper cuts as we flip through it. This word is sharp, and it is an instrument that Hebrews tells us is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That should terrify us, because we know our own intentions. We know what's in our heart, and to have that judged is a scary proposition. There is a surgical nature to God's Word. It cuts into us. It cuts through us. It exposes us, and it exposes us to all that stands between us and God. Through the Word, your deepest thoughts and intentions are laid bare. Seems like every day, almost, there's another mass murder in the news or some kind of awful event that happens. And often when these things happen, they'll interview neighbors of the person. And what do you often hear? You hear the neighbors talking about, oh, I knew that person. They were quiet. They didn't really ever say anything. They were nice. Sometimes they'll even say that they were good neighbors. And yet we find now that this person has flipped and done some horrible deed. They were able to hide the intentions of their heart. The Word of God exposes those things. And you might be able to hide stuff from other people, but the Word of the Lord exposes. It pierces, it cuts in, it is living and active, and it shows us for who we are. Deep down, we are dirty, rotten, scheming, self-interested scoundrels. The Word exposes our lusts, our secret deeds. Through the Word, our deep-seated anger or hate, our shameful past is brought to light. Maybe not to somebody else, but it is brought to light to the Lord. And Hebrews tells us that before the Lord, no creature is hidden. All are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. No creature is hidden. There's a key there. The fact is that God is calling us creatures. We like to think that we are more than that. But we are creatures. God is the Creator. We might try to create false things. We might try to create lies, things which we can hide behind. But no, we are creatures. God the Creator knows all. All are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Maybe you've had the dream that so many people do, but it seems to be that you hear about this, that everybody's worst nightmare is when you're walking along and all of a sudden you're in public, you're doing something, and all of a sudden you're naked. And that's your worst nightmare, right? That's everybody's worst nightmare, and if it wasn't yours, I'm sorry, it's going to be yours tonight. It's in your mind now. You're going to have that nightmare. It's a nightmare because nobody wants to be exposed. But that's what the Word does to us. It exposes us. There's no secret, no lie, no false story we can hide behind. The Word of God is living and active. It pierces us. It shows us for who we are and how we need to stand before God, to whom we render an account. This is why in our confession we often say if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. The Word of God is living and active, sharp, piercing, exposing. It lays bare who we really are, and so we often try to avoid it. It provides a mirror for you. Forces you to gaze upon your naked and exposed self, to cringe at what you see. But as dangerous as this Word is, as terrifying as it is, as this living and active sharp thing is, it's a good kind of danger. And it does something good for us. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul teaches that all Scripture is God-breathed. I was telling the Bible study group this morning that that word, God-breathed, in all of Greek literature from this time period, that's the only place we see this word, God-breathed. It's the only place. It's like it's a word that Paul made up specifically for the Scriptures. And so sometimes it's hard to determine what this means, that Scripture is God-breathed or breathed out by God. At the conference Annie and I were at, a guy referred to it this way. Remember when God created Adam? and he formed him from the dust. How did God give life to that person? He breathed into him. He gave him life through his breath. Scripture is breathed out by God. It is that which gives life, because it is living and active. It first lays bare our sin and demands that we be killed, that we die to sin. But it does this in order so that it can then give us life. So just as the Word exposes our sin and shows us for who we really are, it also and always exposes us to Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh, who gives those who receive Him and believe in His name the right to become children of God. Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's from John chapter 1. And to those who have received Christ, Jesus is what then the second part of this passage from Hebrews talks about. Jesus is the great high priest who bridges the heavens as he comes to earth in pursuit of you. He is the one, the Son of God, who takes your sin upon himself, but then does not hide himself from God. Instead, exposes himself on the cross to receive every ounce of God's wrath in your place. Jesus, the lowly creature, goes to the cross for you, where he renders an account for your sin. He pays for it. To those who believe and receive Christ, to those who are in Christ, who are baptized into Him, you have one who now stands before the throne of God on your behalf. Imagine that. God the Father sitting in all His glory. And right next to Him is Jesus Christ, who knows you, who died for you, who speaks to God in all His majesty on your behalf. God, Father, you see that sinner down there? I died for her. I rendered her account. I speak on her behalf. Jesus, Hebrews tells us, knows your troubles. He is able to sympathize with your weakness to sin, to death, to the devil. Yet he conquered all and stands before the Father on your behalf. Though we are sinners, in Christ we are made righteous. Though we are guilty, in Christ we are washed of our guilt. And though we are absolutely undeserving, in Christ, as Hebrews says, we approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us pray. Gracious and most heavenly Father, your word does expose us. It shows how we are so lacking, how we are so disobedient. But yet it also shows us Christ, who was obedient for us to the point of death, even death on a cross, who rendered the account that we owe to you, who paid our debt. Lord, help us to have faith in you, to know you, to proclaim you, and to each day receive you afresh. We pray this in your name. Amen. At this time, we will...